वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायण नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोविष्टम् स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। नमो ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी निति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। नमो महाबदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत श्री राधा कांत नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
Hare Krishna. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 19, Solving the Forest Fire, text number 8.
Tam aptantam paritodabhagnim. Gopascha gava prasamiksha bhutbhitaha. Uchuscha krishnam sabalam prapanna. Yatha harim mrityu bhayardita jana. Tamaptatam parito dabhagnim. Gopascha gavah prasamiksha bhitah. Uchuscha krishnam sabalam prapanna. Yatha hari mrityu bhayardita janah. Tam apatantam parito dabhagnim. Gopascha gavah prasamiksha bhitah. Uchuscha krishnam sabalam prapanna. Yatha harim mrityu bhayardita janah.
Is tam that apat tantam setting upon them paritaha on all sides dava agnim the forest fire gopaha the cowherd boys cha and Gavaha, the cows, prasamiksha, intensely watching, bhitaha, afraid, uchuhu, they addressed, cha, and krishnam, Lord Krishna, sabalam, and Lord Balaram, prapannaha, taking shelter, Yatha, Aj, Harim, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mrityu, of death, Vaya, by fear, Arditaha, troubled, Janaha, persons. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. As the cows and cowherd boys stared at the forest fire, attacking them on all sides, they became fearful. The boys then approached Krishna and Balaram for shelter, just as those who were disturbed by fear of death approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The boys addressed them as follows. So we'll continue reading. Text 9. The cowherd boys said, O Krishna, Krishna, most powerful one, O Rama, you whose powers prowess never fails, please save your devotees who are about to be burned by this forest fire and have come to take shelter of you. Text 10. Krishna, certainly your own friends shouldn't be destroyed. O knower of the nature of all things, we have accepted you as your Lord, as our Lord, and we are souls surrendered unto you. Text 11. Sukadeva Goswami said, hearing these beautiful words from his friends, the Supreme Lord Krishna told them, just close your eyes and do not be afraid. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse clearly reveals the simple, sublime relationship between Krishna and his pure devotees. The absolute truth, the Supreme Almighty Lord, is actually a young, blissful cowherd boy named Krishna. God is youthful and his mentality is playful. When he saw that his beloved friends were terrified of the forest fire, he simply told them to close their eyes and not be afraid. Then Lord Krishna acted as described in the next verse. Hare Krishna. So in this nice chapter named Swallowing the Forest Fire, yesterday our Hare Krishna Prabhu started this chapter and spoke very nicely about how the boys are absorbed in games. Krishna and his friends are very much absorbed in games. And because of that absorption in games, they neglected the cows, who, taking advantage of the freedom, passed slowly into deeper and deeper forest. And now they are cut off in a forest fire. So the boys also followed, they trailed the footmark of the cows and the grasses they ate. They followed that. They found them finally, but as they are about to take them out of that place and go back to home, to Vrindavan, they suddenly see this forest fire seizing from all sides. And in that situation, they are turning to Krishna and Balram and asking for protection. And Krishna, who is the Supreme Lord, like Prabhupada is explaining in this one, is playful and youthful. Supreme Lord is playful and youthful. And he is telling them, just close your eyes and don't be afraid. So yesterday after the class, I was discussing with Hare Krishna Prabhu, we were saying how much faith these cowherd boys are actually having in Krishna. Sometimes, like we drive in car, somebody is driving, like some very experienced person may be driving, like our Garuda Prabhu or someone, and you are sitting next seat, closing your eyes and chanting. But as soon as the brake is there, some horn is there, we open our eyes immediately. We don't have full faith in him. It happens. Everybody has tried that probably, in one way or other. So here the boys, although in midst of a biggest danger that is about to actually swallow them up completely, the fire. But still, Krishna says, close your eyes, and they say, okay, we'll close our eyes. And of course, that is the next verses, is going to come in that way. But as also Hare Krishna Prabhu was telling, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Pad explains the anartha associated with this forest fire. There are various demons represent various anarthas within us. And Krishna is teaching how to conquer them. This particular forest fire, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, it represents conflict among devotee communities, amongst devotees, and atheism, both represents. So it's a very tough subject, because as a neophyte devotee, Prabhupada, neophyte means one who fights. So myself being a neophyte also entered many conflicts, but somehow by Krishna's grace we are coming out of it, right? So here this subject is very tough, so therefore I request devotees' blessings, so that whatever I understand, most of them are a kind of experiences, and and try to present it for benefit of all of us and my purification. So this forest fire represents conflicts among devotees. So there are conflicts among non-devotees, and it is like Kali Yuga. So Kali Yuga especially, we see it everywhere, all over. But conflict among non-devotee communities like that, which is based on lust and greed, basically. So you see typical cases that fought in courts are like over property, matrimony, lust and greed, basically. They fight very intensely for some selfish enjoyment. But when it comes to devotee communities, the fights are not like rights against wrongs. Someone is right, someone is wrong, and that is the fight that fights they fought in the courts. But in devotee communities, it's like right against rights. Both parties are right, but there is a fight. In the sense that one may say, okay, we will hold the festival during on Sundays. Somebody may say, no, we'll hold it on Saturdays because Sunday will get rest. So both are correct in one sense. But then because of attachment to our ideas, our egoistic ideas, there is a conflict. So naturally, it is much more difficult to overcome. But devotees may fight, let's say, for example, in a meetings or in a closed room, ideologies are, clashing ideologies. Both are ideals, both are correct. But they are clashing within the meeting. But as soon as they come out of the meeting, they are friends. We have seen that. But these clashes becomes very strong and dangerous when it is accompanied by envy. It's like these chapters describe how this forest fire suddenly grow wild because of the wind. So two bamboos may just, for no reason, may come against each other, some kind of, spark, and it may start a fire, small fire. But it is the wind that brings it to its destructive size, huge conflagration, inferno, a wildfire. Similarly, that wind is the fuel for the fire. It just pours in and increases the size and goes on and destroys entire forest. And whoever is within, they also get destroyed. So the devotees, the cowherd boys and the cows and many other animals, they are surrounded by this fire. They are not the part of the fire. It is because of two bamboos clashing. But it threatened their existence also. Similarly, devotees' ego may clash, but if envy comes in between, it fuels that fire and brings to such an extent that it can destroy the entire devotee community. And whoever is within, they can also get the heat. So this is how it basically operates. And so as a result, what happens, the relationship, if it is just ego outside the meeting room, there is friendship. But if it is envy, then relationship doesn't develop even outside the meeting area. There is no friendship or no relationship that exists. Everything gets spoiled. So, and as a result, it creates it discourages other followers to practice devotional service. When there is a clash, unwanted clash and envy, hatred, all these things are observed. Those who are practicing devotional service, they also feel discouraged. That means the heat also affects the larger part of the community. Just like the forest fire affected the boys, they are afflicted by thirst and hunger, fear, anxieties. But what is good part, they had full faith in Krishna. And they turn to Krishna with full faith. That faith is reflected by how they close their eyes, shut their eyes tight as soon as Krishna asks them to shut their eyes. So, but once it happens, once this destruction happens, it takes long, long time to recreate it. In fact, it is very difficult. One example I would like to cite in this regard is from Ramayana. His Grace Brajavihari Prabhu spoke very nicely on the day of Ramayana, Ramnami, about this Kaikeyi Manthara and all these issues. So we can see that the fight between Kaikeyi and Dasarath is like right against right. Because Kaikeyi thought whatever she is asking is bona fide. She was given two boons and she is asking whatever she desired. She had that rights. She is asking, okay, make my son Bharat the king and banish Ram. So, but that idea, Dasarath Maharaj definitely didn't like it. He was like completely upset. He was losing his senses. He is like going senseless now and then, trying to pacify Kaikeyi in so many different ways, different logic, arguments, anger, love, compassion, all these emotions he is showing to pacify and turn her mind, but she was not turning. Now, why she was not turning? Because that egoistic desire that Bharat should be king was fueled by Kaikeyi's envy. Otherwise, probably she would have agreed to Dasarath. Okay, if you convince Ram will not trouble anybody and I also have that faith, then okay, she could change that egoistic desire that my son should be the king, that my factor could have been, you know, overturned. But because it was fueled by Kaikeyi's envy, it was very difficult. It is said in the Ramayana, very nice description, Brajavihari Prabhu spoke very nicely, that how Lord Ram was, when he returned with Mother Sita after the marriage, for practically a decade, Ayodhya was experiencing grand celebrations. Practically every day was a celebration. Nice celebrated musics were played everywhere, decorations were everywhere, things like that. And it is said, happiness was raining in Ayodhya. It was like constant rain of happiness and success, satisfaction. And Lord Ram had all the good qualities to be a king. Of course, Bharat also had good qualities, but especially it is reflected, Ram, everybody looked upon Ram as the person to be the king. He was mild, gentle. He would never retort when people speak to him in a harsh way. He would not retort. His anger was always controlled. That means he had no lust. Because he had no lust, he had filled with compassion and love for all living entities. He would always surround himself with intelligent people because he wanted to benefit the people. He would surround himself with intelligent people to get good advice and would not decide anything without their consultation because he wanted to benefit the people. He didn't want to hurt them. And because of all these excellent qualities, people were naturally attracted to him. And they wanted him to be their king. It is said Lord Ramchandra had the, chivalry power of Indra. He had the intelligence of Brihaspati and effulgence and beauty like sun. So naturally all these opulences would make one proud. And when the person is proud, popular by opulences, then people would be, either would hate him, envy him, or go away from him. But Lord Ram, having all these great opulences, still he was so nice in his heart. Therefore, the power to attract people was even much more magnified because of, all opulences combined with good qualities can attract people like anything as a leader. So they all wanted to see Lord Ram and Sita on the, that golden simhasan, golden throne. That is their dream. It is said nobody could tell it to Dasarath Maharaj. Because how can you tell a king, you get out and somebody else become king? It's difficult. Especially in those days, kings are expected like anything. You cannot speak anything which is, to this effect that you please get down and let Ram sit on your seat. Nobody would say. But they would always incessantly glorify Lord Ram in front of Dasarath. And he was not able to understand why. He was hearing and he was feeling very happy. Yes, Lord Ram is great. They're telling Lord Ram is this, Lord Ram is that, and he was hearing and feeling very great happiness and bliss in his heart. But he was not getting a clue that they want him to come down and Ram to sit on the throne. His Holiness Radha Govind Maharaj actually says a very nice thing. Once Dasarath Maharaj was putting the crown on his head before going to the court, to the darbar. And while correcting his, you know, crown, he saw some hairs on his upper ear became whitish, grey. Like in Hindi we say pak jata hai, pak gaya. But there is no paka word in English. I mean, they say it is becoming grey. Pak gaya means actually he became old or buddha. But Radha Govind Maharaj says, when the hair, the faster that becomes grey is over the ear. Why? Because close to the ear they become grey and tell the ears, now you are becoming old, take to denunciation. They speak to the ear, standing right over the ear. So the Sadhu saw that, he said, maybe Ram should be the king. I should now get down, I should do tapasya, denunciation, and let Ram be the king and sing that, my life will be perfect. And then it doesn't matter whether I live or die. It doesn't matter. Thinking like that, he approaches Vasishtha first, the spiritual master approaches before deciding anything. That is the way, custom, to approach the guru. And under his supervision and blessings, then he goes to the ministers, the administration. And everybody says, the Vasishtha says, you should do it tomorrow. Don't wait. Because we should not see any astrological chart, as a guru is saying. You should not see any astrological chart or anything. Because whichever day Lord Ram becomes the king, that is the auspicious day. Then later people will use that day as auspicious day. So no need to worry about that. You can do it tomorrow. The minister says, we'll do it today. Why wait? And in that excitement and happiness, practically all of them forget that Bharat and Shatrughna is not there in Ayodhya. Of course, it is explained that it was arranged like that. Normally, ministers of Dasarath Maharaj, who is always under, anxiety and, because king can ask anything anytime, they are like really kings. They put ministers in real pressure and anxieties. They can't afford to make any mistakes. They never do mistakes. But even such personalities like Sumantra, they forgot that Bharat is not here. They said, okay, we'll do it. Later they realized, ki, actually we made a mistake. But then they said, we'll go ahead anyway, Bharat will be happy when he comes. They didn't change the idea. And all these celebrations are happening at that time. Manthara is approaching one nurse of Kaushalya, mother of Lord Ram. And she is asking, what is happening? And actually, Kaushalya's nurse, very happily, beaming with happiness, she said, don't you know, King Dasarath is going to give the Prince Ram the throne tomorrow, sinless Ram. Like that she was saying. And immediately, Manthara's face changed and she thought in her heart, this is absolutely injustice. That was the first reaction she got. And very quietly and with intense feelings, she goes to Kaikeyi's room. And she starts speaking so many. She says, she goes with a very frowning face and very sad face. And Kaikeyi says, has Lakshman did something to you? Why are you so sad? Because normally Lakshman was always careful. Who's कौन ठीक ठाक नहीं है तो उसको ठीक करते हो. So probably previously also Lakshman chastised Manthara many times. So Kaikeyi is thinking probably Lakshman did something to her. But she was smiling. She was happy. How know Lakshman did something to her, Kaikeyi would be happy. That needs to be done like that. But then this time she was really, really intense and very, very sad face. And Kaikeyi was asking what happened, she was not speaking. And thus Kaikeyi also little affected, something really wrong has happened. She says, is everything okay with you? And so her reply was, except Lord Ram, who's happy? Actually everybody is happy except her. But now she is projecting her own way of thinking onto Kaikeyi. They said, Dasarath has decided that he should be the king. Who can change it? Dasarath is the king. He has decided, who can change it? That means Dasarath is also a culprit. They have banished, they have taken Bharat out of the picture. This is a political move. So in few sentences, she is offending Dasarath, Ram and entire Ayodhyavasis. That's how the envy can create such a big fuel. But of course, Kaikeyi was not affected for some time. But she repeatedly said, and actually she came to a point where she threatened Kaikeyi's own ego. She was saying, no, no, I love Ram. Ram also loves me more than Kaushalya. This used to be spiritual facts are like that. Like Krishna used to be loved by all the gopis more than their children. So Parikshit Maharaj would ask, how is it possible? It is very much possible because Krishna used to love them like that. When Krishna loved them, like small child, because they are simple, they don't have any duplicity. Small children sometimes display this extraordinary love, loving more than mother to somebody. And naturally those mothers will also, sour all their blessings and mercy. So Krishna actually used to love the gopis, like Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. So naturally they also loved him. And they desired, even Kaikeyi says, seeing Lord Rama sing is the best thing I can ever see. And even if I have to die and reborn again, I desire that, let Lord Ram be my son in my next birth and Mother Sita be my daughter-in-law. That's how she was desiring. That much loved, she said. It is said, like Prajwalpa was telling, when Ram and Sita returned after marriage, Kaikeyi offered her own palace as a gift to Sitaram. That much love she had for Lord Ram. But now Kaikeyi is saying, if Ram becomes king, then you used to be the favorite queen, but you won't be anymore. Kaushalya will be the favorite. And you will be her maid servant. Actually, that's how she was thinking about herself. Then she will be secondary queen, then I will be secondary servant. And anyway, people are criticizing me, commenting, passing comments on me because of that kubja, hunchback. So, when she becomes a secondary queen, then I will be criticized and commented upon unceasingly, and I cannot be safe and happy. So, thinking about her position, she was telling Kaikeyi that this is what is going to happen, and inflating all the people around her as culprits, like Dasaratha and Ram. So when she said, you will be maid servant, this is something Kaikeyi didn't like. Her ego was like that. There's a point where she got influenced by her envious words. And she said, I may commit suicide, but I can never become servant of Kaushalya. He was saying, Manthara was saying, Lord Ram, Dasarath Maharaj, a politician, she is speaking so many sweet words to you and telling you that you are his favorite queen, and in this way having nice pastimes with you. But behind the background, he is planning to make Lord Ram king, and when he becomes king, probably he will kill Bharat, because he is also equally qualified, or he will banish him to forest. So therefore, your position is really threatened as the favorite queen, as the best queen. And when that ego was hurt, then she started thinking. She started thinking, probably she is right. Then she was thinking, probably nahi. Actually, Manthara is right. And King Dasaratha is conspiring like this against me. And because that envy entered, that egoistic attitude that I am the favorite queen is strengthened. It is like solidified. And whatever way Dasaratha Maharaj is trying to explain her, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is not right. Don't ask such boons, ask anything but not this. Let Bharat be king, let Ram stay. Nothing changed her position. She was completely attached to that desire that Ram should be banished. Because that is envy. Lord Ram, she was saying, if Lord Ram stays, probably he will overrule Bharat, or probably he may conspire to kill him if he stays in Ayodhya. Therefore he must go to forest. So therefore, when everybody was saying, how could Kaikeyi be so harsh, but she was so much influenced, she had no problem in telling Lord Ram, you go immediately. Right now you go. Because she saw it as a big problem, big threat. Which was completely wrong. It was based on doubts, that's all. It was just doubts. Manthara doubted, and that doubt transferred to Kaikeyi. But Dasaratha Maharaj didn't thought like that. Ram was not like that. And Bharat also was not expecting that. So in this way we see that when egoistic desires foiled by envy, the conflict takes the shape of big wildfire. and it burns everyone that surrounds. The entire Ayodhyavadi got the heat, basically, because of that fire. And so, when one tries to come out of it, that means the solution part, resolving conflicts. When such a thing happens, actually, it is very difficult to overcome or revert the situation. Or, more or less, it is like impossible. Very difficult. We seen in the our Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Pad, he said, Agun Lagbe. That means this fire, that conflict among devotees can create a fire that will destroy. Practically, the Gaudiya Math was affected because of that conflict. We have seen that in the history. But the thing is, because the cowherd boys took shelter of Krishna, therefore he could save them. He could instantly save them. That is his power. But in case of Kaikeyi and Manthara, they didn't took resort to Lord Ram. Even it was like nobody thought about that. So Thakur Bhaktivinoda also says this forest fire also represents atheism. Atheism is such, when such fights takes place, Krishna is completely out of the picture. Nobody takes shelter of Guru or Krishna at that point of time. Because atheism has attacked and conflict of ego and envy is fueled, so therefore solutions practically impossible. It is like that. It's a little sad, but it is like that. So therefore, somehow or other, if we bring Krishna back, these egoistic issues can be resolved provided we bring Krishna somewhere or other, or Guru. Like we have seen, Srila Prabhupada was there in this 10 years, he preached profusely all over the world. That saintly personality. And we can see, from Krishna's part, this love and compassion is always there. The Guru's compassion, love is always there. So there was a conflict among the grihasthas and the sannyasis at one point of time in Iskandar. It's very nicely described in the our Lilamrit book. Prabhupada Lilamrit. So we won't go into details. But the fact is that when these two parties, good thing about that, they had full faith in Prabhupada. That faith in Prabhupada's compassion, Prabhupada's leadership, and they loved Prabhupada. And because they had that, when they sat together with Prabhupada in one room, when they entered, it was like, you know, a very tough situation, what's going to happen. But when they listened to Prabhupada, when they felt Prabhupada's compassion, as they came out, everything was relieved. There was peace, happiness, positive vibrations were coming out. And it was resolved once and for all. So, like now we are also, Prabhupada said, one who dances in Guru Puja, you know, all the conflicts will be resolved just by dancing in Guru Puja. Because we accept Prabhupada. Everyone who presents in Guru Puja and dances, they demonstrate this fact that they love Prabhupada. And when another devotee says that this devotee has faith for Prabhupada, then why to fight with him? He is glorious, he is the best person. So when he experiences and feel that this person is so much dedicated to Prabhupada, so doing so much service, then naturally all these envious feelings will be removed. So the egoistic issues can be resolved then by Guru and Krishna. Authorities can resolve it. They just sit together, have faith, okay, we'll do this, do like that, whatever. Then it is acceptable to all parties. Otherwise it is difficult. But if there is atheism, then that creates doubt even Guru and Krishna. Atheism means you don't accept Krishna. Whatever he does only for devotees, he is partial, this and so many other negative things comes. Although he is not like that. So, similarly, Kaikeyi developed all these negative thoughts about Ram, who is the Supreme Lord. Therefore, she could not accommodate any solutions, whether it was out of compassion or out of chastisement. Nothing appealed to her at all. So as a result, there was a big calamity. But then, we should see there is a brighter side to conflicts also. In the sense, conflict sometimes creates creativity. New ideas, new plans can come out of conflict. Like competition in this world, which is basically because of envy, have given us so much of gadgets, you know, gadgets for the sai. So much of new discoveries come because of conflict and because of competition, things like that. But that is the non-devotee circuit. But there is also, His Holiness Radha Swami Maharaj was telling the other day, there are these sequoia trees, redwood trees, big trees. And their seeds are protected by a very hard shell. As a result, when times for fructification come, the seeds cannot penetrate those shells and come out, fructify. But some occasional forest fire removes that shell and the seed can fructify and come out as a tree. Otherwise, they will be wiped out as a species. So forest fire helps them to preserve a species, which is the forest fire conflict. Similarly, sometimes conflict may be arranged by the Lord to bring out something out of the picture. In the case of Lord Ram, it is said when it was decided that he would be the king, the demigods were suddenly become upset, they become sad about the situation. They are alarmed actually. Because it happened so quickly, they thought, how can it happen so instantly? We have to check it. We have to stop it. It is explained that how the demigods are the universal managers of the entire universe. And they see how the world is going to be benefited by certain activity. If Ram becomes the king in Ayodhya, then he will be limited within the Ayodhya and only protect Ayodhya and Ayodhya Vasis. As a result, Ravana and all the negative elements which is outside Ayodhya will never be annihilated. And it is not good for the universe. Not good for the universal management. So first remove the terrorists. Remove the terrorism, then establish Ramarajya. Only Ramarajya will not help. It is a fact. It is a very nice point. It is raised by Radha Govind Maharaj. I liked it very much. Very nice point. So therefore they said Ram must get out of this place. And they confused Kaikeyi. But it is also said because Kaikeyi was associating with Manthara, who is also a negative element, therefore she was used like an instrument. And because to purify her of that association which creates so much pollution within her, she was used in a way that she was really upset about it. So sometimes conflicts in devotee society may be arranged by Krishna's desire, we don't know, to effect some good thing in the future, to set examples where others will not be affected. Some good thing has to come out of it. And similarly, when this conflict among devotees can be a fire test for those who have slackening faith, you know. So we have seen when some very very powerful, you know, spiritual leader falls down, many devotees leave Krishna consciousness. It happens. That means they don't have full faith in Krishna and the instruction Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. They are lacking that faith. So the conflicts sometimes eradicates those unwanted elements who are not fit to practice Krishna consciousness. And those who have faith, like the cowherd boys, have full faith in Krishna and shut their eyes, they are saved, they get real nectar. When they go through that fire test, sacrifice and experiences, but continue to serve Krishna with full faith, they survive. So in case of Lord Ram, actually when Kaikeyi goes in the end with Bharat Maharaj to the forest and she meets Lord Ram in seclusion, says, "I am very extremely sorry, I don't know why I did this, I feel so bad, you please come back," and she also requests. Then Lord Ram says, actually it is nothing to do with your all this, whatever you displayed. It was my plan. It was my arrangement. So you see that conflict, although organized by Lord Ram so that he can come out of that place, otherwise it was very impossible for him to come out. The way the Ayodhyavasis loved him, that description, the way Dasaratha loved him, like when Vishwamitra came to take him, it was with lot of reluctance, difficulty that he allowed, and Vasishtha said, he allowed Ram to go to forest. it would have been impossible for Ram to come out of Ayodhya. So it was his arrangement so that Ravan and all the elements which is creating Dharma Sangsthapanarthaya, he had to do that. Similarly, Krishna came out of Vrindavan. Otherwise it would have not been possible for him to take care of so many bad elements. He had to come out. So Akrura comes and takes him out of Vrindavan. That happened in a very simple and nobody was understanding what is happening. Except the gopis. They felt the fear. He may not return. They are stopping like anything. They had that fear. But otherwise Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherd boys went with Krishna to Mathura. To see the, you know, city and all these things like that. They didn't know that they were going to lose Krishna. And they lost Krishna actually. So similarly Ayodhya Vasi lost Ram. But that was to benefit the whole universe in one sense. So therefore, in one sense we should avoid the conflicts by taking shelter of Lord Krishna and Guru Prabhupada. Atheism should not be allowed, envy should not be entertained. The conflicts can be easily resolved. Otherwise, therefore whenever there is envious attack or anything comes on our heart, and whatever it tells one to do, we should very strongly do the opposite. Suppose, sometimes you may not feel like Swami Maharaj was saying the one time, if you feel not like coming to take darshan of Gopinath, then that is the time you must go to take darshan. You know? If you feel like today I don't like go to sit in Bhagavatam class, that is the day one must come and sit in the class. Fight against these lethargies. And in that way, indicate Krishna that how much trust and endeavor we are making to accept you and your instructions in our life. And in that way we can overcome these anarthas in the heart. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I'm sorry if I have said something which is not appropriate. Just my analysis and experience I'm telling. Any correction or anything, please, I'll be happy to accept it. Yeah, anything? Since it is already over time, I'm sorry. Will not take any questions. Shila Prabhupada ki Nitai Gurpemanande Samavita Gaur Bhakta Brindaki Jai.